6 to 7 feet, and southwest swells up to 2 feet at 14 seconds. The time now, 8:06, coming up next on your favorite radio station, it's time for Wake the Bear Radio.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Wake the Bear Radio. We have an amazing show tonight.
Yes, we do.
We are so excited.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a monumental night. It's been a monumental week for freedom, and we want to just celebrate the reality that Roe v. Wade was turned over. There was a major win for the Second Amendment in New York. Now you have the right to carry and to receive a must issue, or rather than a may issue, concealed carry permit. What's the other ones? We got some crazy good things going on.
Coach Kennedy.
Coach Kennedy is no longer.
Coach Kennedy.
Yeah, he was right. He didn't get. He got fired for just saying a prayer at the 50-yard line. I don't know. Maybe the people who did this never read the Constitution of the United States and the First Amendment.
Yeah, and he was off duty when he got fired. It was after the game, and he was in discretionary time for his own doing, and it was just something that he wanted to thank God for the victory, and it was his tradition. So, these are exciting times. We do need words of hope, and so we just want to celebrate. Yes. It's not a small thing. So many of us have been praying for so many years. For the overturn
let's talk more about that. Roe v. Wade, 49 years. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that issue was weak and it shouldn't have been made. And she's totally pro-abortion. And she said that's not a good, wasn't a good law. The role of the judiciary, the SCOTUS, is to tell us which laws are constitutional and not constitutional. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have the right to kill a child. So.
Yeah, and for some reason.
It's also based on a lie. I mean, she was gang raped. And there was some footage there that was released on Q this week.
Yeah.
And talking about that old footage. And she admitted that she says, you know, I'm a drug addict and that didn't happen. I wasn't gang raped. So the whole thing was built on a false narrative.
False narrative. And it's basically, and she's come out now and said, I should not have done that, what I did. And it. You know, has repented for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was, then her name is, I can't remember her name, but that's the person called Roe. Yeah. Okay, we have our caller on tonight, and we are excited tonight on Wake the Bear Radio to be hosting Jake Lang. He's going to be coming on in just a second. Jake Lang is a J6 political prisoner. He's been held as a political prisoner for 17 months. He was 27 when he went in. Now he's 28 years old. 550 days without bail. And he is going to be calling in right as we speak from a federal prison in D.C. to share his story of what happened on January 6th. There's a lot of lies out there, a lot of propaganda. He's going to give us the truth. He's going to give us his story. This guy is a patriot. He loves the Lord. He's a Christian. He's a spirit-filled believer. And God is using him in the prison. And I believe God is using him to wake people up to the truth of what has happened on January 6th. There's so much lies that are out there. And so he's calling in. Jake, can you hear us?
Yes, brother. How are we doing tonight? God bless.
God bless you, Jake. My name is Brandon Johnson. I'm a pastor here in Santa Cruz County. We have a radio show called Wake the Bear, and you are on it. And thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, and there's two other co-hosts. I'm Chris Hurst, and I'm a lifelong patriot, and we have Ron Powers with us, too. So we are so excited. Thank you for taking our call.
Yeah. God bless. It's my privilege to be on with you guys, and to spread a little bit of a patriotic light to California.
Amen. Hey, Jake, we are so glad you're on here. We've been wanting to talk to you, and we're so glad you called in. Just tell us what was the. I mean, we know that you came to the J6. You were nobody was really armed. What was your intention from coming to January 6th and from the very beginning?
I mean, you know, we were called by our president, Donald Trump, to come and to support, this election fraud nonsense and to support him in his fight against you know, the fraudulent election that was stolen by Joe Biden and the radicalized Democrats. So we were there peacefully protesting, doing what Americans do best, exercising our God-given rights, using our voices to redress our grievances on the steps of the Capitol. And it turned out to be just a bloody affair where the Capitol Police, led by Nancy Pelosi, her personalized little, attack dogs, they set out on us and they ambushed us and they murdered four people that day on the steps of our own Capitol. And, you know, this is, it's one thing to hear about this stuff, but it's a totally another thing to see it with your own eyes. And so we put together a groundbreaking documentary on j6truth.org. Tell your audience they need to go to this website. We've had millions of views on this documentary already. It was released about a month ago, little less, and it's been taking the country by storm. J6truth.org. See for yourself the truth.
Yeah, I watched the film yesterday. It was fantastic. There was footage there that, to be honest, I've never seen, and I know most people have not seen. And it's and there's, you know, clearly there were feds on the ground. There were people that were there to as provocateurs to incite people. This was like a trap. It was like a trap, man.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, the polarization that we see, that, you know, there's like two different strains in America now. I don't even count them as Republican and Democrat anymore. I count it as, you know, patriots and freedom fighters versus tyrants. And, you know, that day we were peacefully protesting tyranny. You know, if you steal an election from a free people and you put in a despotic regime like Joe Biden, they were gun grabbers. You know, they're tyrants, and they can't be allowed to just come in to make a mockery of American elections and install such a wicked person as our leader. God would not be behind any of the things that the Democrats are up to right now.
Yeah, they really made it impossible to have a balanced debate on things because they're so against everything that God stands for. Yeah, so I have a question for you. You know, what are the charges against you? You've been held there for 17 months. I mean, what happened to the right to a speedy trial? What is going on?
Our Constitution is crumbling. I mean, in the midst of this battle for freedom that I'm currently in, the country's in a greater battle for freedom. And so, you know, when you go to war, spiritual war, there are casualties in spiritual war. We lost four Americans that day, two unarmed women, two unarmed men. And there would have been a lot more deaths that day if it wasn't for brave patriots defending each other's lives that day, defending their country, defending their Constitution. And so I got caught up in the middle of protecting myself and the women and the unarmed veterans and elderly people around me. And so I got all kinds of allegations of assault on police officers for, you know, basically standing up and standing strong for my country against tyrants. You know, now I'm being branded as a domestic terrorist, all these, I mean, wild, you know, terminology that they're using to try to hide the fact that, you know, our founding fathers would have been Jan Sixers. They were brave patriots who stood up against tyranny, and we were there as brave patriots unarmed. And all of us are being, you know, used as this fodder for the political cannons that they're shooting at the American people. They just want to take everyone's liberty, and we're the only thing standing in their way.
Yeah, they were firing flash bombs right into the crowds with indiscriminately and targeting women and elderly. And you guys saw that and you were like, hey, we gotta protect these people, the weak among us.
Yeah, precisely right. I mean, you know, there's no greater love than a man has to lay down his life for a friend. And so, you know, I found it, you know, expedient for myself to get in between the vicious, you know, police officers that are, you know, they're masquerading as police officers. Real police officers protect human life. They obey their oath to the Constitution, you know, and these police officers that day were out for blood, to take innocent blood. And they murdered a young woman, 34-year-old Roseanne Boylan from Georgia, in my arms. And you'll see that in the documentary. And, you know, I'm not raised to be a coward. I'm not going to turn and tuck tail, and then more people are going to die like that. I took up defense, and I took up a defensive position to make sure that no other people died so ruthlessly at the hands of the Capitol Police.
Yeah, I saw the footage. They were just beating people, just indiscriminately, just beating them over and over and over again. I can't believe that. That's the footage that America needs to see. And I'm so glad you put together this film, the J6Truth.org. Everybody needs to go and watch this film. It will blow your mind. In fact, we're going to be showing this film at my church next Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, but coming Wednesday. And we're going to have a discussion about it. What is actually going on? We are seeing a communist coup of our government right now going on. And we need to pray, and we need to speak out. We need to peaceably assemble and give our redress to our officials. And so, yeah, we're gonna just get this out there.
So, Jake, go ahead and give a little rundown of. So you came into town. You're from New York, is that right?
Yeah, I'm a upstate New Yorker, but I've been a city slicker for 7 or 8 years.
So you came down to Washington. Did you listen to Trump's speech, or were you were meeting with friends? You were doing some networking with other patriots, and so kind of tell us how the day played out for you, because there was an atmosphere as we were watching on the West Coast. We were watching. It was doggone cold there, wasn't it? We were watching, and there was a celebratory, but also a lot of people just very, very cold, but they were expectant of something. So tell us a little bit about what happened before the conflict.
Yeah, so thank you for that question. I came down from New York, answered the call to support our president. We went down, we're watching this speech, and he's unraveling all of these egregious violations of our election laws in front of our very eyes, saying that, this place was that the mail-in ballots were dumped in the middle of the night. And I witnessed that with my own eyes. I went to bed that night thinking Trump had it sewed up, and then I woke up in the morning to a stolen election. And so, I went down. The atmosphere, I have to tell you, the Holy Spirit was really moving on that crowd. It was such a brilliant display of American patriotism and love for what is good and true and righteous and holy. And there were, so many different pastors and evangelists preaching to the crowd. And it was really like a majority Christian group of people that were there to support the work that Trump's done for righteousness in this country. And so we marched down to the Capitol after he's done with his speech, which was full of so much truth as far as the election being stolen. And we're down there, we're peacefully protesting, and these police just incited us and just the tear gas canisters, the flash grenades, the rubber bullets, the pepper spray balls, like they have paintball guns with pepper spray bullets in them, and they're just blasting away and hitting people in the face. People have like holes in their face, bloody mess everywhere. And I'm not a coward, and I'm not going to turn and run away from Americans being brutalized by a tyrannical regime. And I'm going to stand, and I'm going to defend my country. I'm going to defend what the Constitution says we have a right to stand on. And so I stood, and I defended my country. And so many brave Americans stood shoulder to shoulder with me, unarmed, and not on the offensive, on the defensive. And it was so tragic, the loss of life and the divide that we could see in our country, the good from the evil, and the people who support liberty from the tyrants.
Wow, that the trauma of just having to be in a war zone in the middle of America would be really difficult to watch. But did you notice any infiltrators or embedded combatants of any kind that were stirring up the crowd other than the Capitol Police?
I have a trial coming up in January 9th, 2023, and there's a certain standard of evidence and beyond a reasonable doubt that the government has to bring against my charges to prove to the jury that I'm guilty of what they're alleging I am. And so I use that same standard when I look at the January 6th videos, and I'm waiting. Personally, my personal opinion is a bunch of pissed off patriots who drew a line in the sand and said, this is enough. You're not going to take our country with us just standing here watching. We're going to make a stand. We're going to stand for liberty. The possibility of there being federal agents and agitators and maybe some Antifa members is high, But I haven't seen any, you know, people come forward, no whistleblowers from the FBI or from Antifa. I haven't seen any text messages, you know, plotting or, you know, scheming this plot together. So I will go with what the evidence shows me as of right now, which is a bunch of pissed off patriots protecting their country.
Wow, that is a very gracious statement that you just made. So you're not trying to read anybody's motives. You're waiting to see what the evidence shows. That shows both humility and it shows a lot of character. And I hope that the justice system will do the same for you.
That's right.
Oh, God bless.
Jake. Jake, this is Ron. I have a question, and that is, did you personally experience seeing Capitol Police open the gates and let people through? I mean, I saw videos of that. Tell us if you've seen anything like that day.
Tons of videos.
Hey, Ron, what's up? Thanks for that question. I think that, so there was two different fronts to this Capitol protest. There was the east side, where it was kind of like more like kumbaya. The Capitol Police were fist-bumping protesters, taking selfies with them. The doors magically opened. The Capitol Police were waving people in. And then there was the West Terrace Tunnel and the West Terrace side, where I was at. There was more like a bloodied war zone. It was horrific. I was in that tunnel for 2 or 3 hours, fighting for my life, defending people around me. There was no give whatsoever from those stormtroopers inside that tunnel. You know, we were speaking to them before things got physical in there, before they started launching their attack on us, saying, hey, we're here in the name of the Constitution. We're your American brothers and sisters. We don't have any aught against you. You know, lay down your arms. We're not armed. You know, join us. We're here to protest peacefully. And, you know, God bless you guys. And they didn't want any part of that, and they started unleashing on us, you know, pepper spray and metal batons, and I got cracked in the head. I have a permanent scar on my head that was bleeding all over the place, and I got shot in the foot by a rubber bullet and shattered my foot. I was on crutches, and I was beaten and brutalized, as well as so many people inside that tunnel for hours. And so I didn't get to see the the nice fist bumps and selfie Capitol Police officers that were on one side of the Capitol. I saw the stormtroopers.
Well, that's a pretty confusing message to send from half of the Capitol. It's diametrically opposed. So now the situation is over. You flew home, didn't you? And when did your arrest come?
So I actually had two angel patriots. They saw me, like, completely run down. Like, I have a shoeless outside the Capitol on the West Terrace Tunnel, blinded from 2 hours, 3 hours of tear gas and pepper spray, bleeding and limping, and I couldn't really walk. And they picked me up, and they offered me a place to stay in their hotel room that night. I didn't have anywhere to stay.
Wow.
They took care of me, and they drove me all the way home to New York.
Wow.
They watched me.
Wow.
They saw me. They saw me there for hours making a stand strong, and they were grateful for my efforts, and they had so much love in their hearts to take care of me. And I might have died that night if I didn't get to shelter. It was pretty cold out.
Yeah.
Well, and you had so they saw you caring for other people, and they cared for you, which is obviously the American way, which is a Christ-like way. And you saw another brother there on the floor that had his tongue hanging out his mouth, and you grabbed him too and helped him get to medical care, right?
Yeah, you saved his life.
Yeah. Yes. God bless Philip Anderson. He's a young black man, a really strong patriot brother of mine. He's shown himself to be really brave in standing up to the United States government since Jan 6 and doing interviews and not afraid of catching charges. You know, they refuse to charge him because they're afraid of his story. There's some people that were so brutally beaten and almost murdered that the government doesn't want to bring charges up on them because they don't want, you know, to bring that bad testimony and that horrible, horrific truth to the surface. And so, yeah, I did have the opportunity. God gave me the grace and the strength to battle through the streams of pepper spray and through the dog pile of death that the Capitol Police created. And I got Philip Anderson up in a bear hug. He's a big boy, and he was unconscious, and he was a couple, probably 30 seconds away from meeting the same fate as Roseanne Boylan. I was able to drag him out of there and bring him down to the Patriot volunteer medics, and they resuscitated him. And he's alive today, and he's still going strong, and he's got another day to serve the Lord.
Oh, praise God for that. Praise God for that. Thank
you. And you went home, and did you get a little visit from, the FBI, or what was the process?
Yeah, I mean, I went home. I immediately, before I even got home, I started posting the videos of January 6th on my Instagram. I had a large following, about 40,000 followers, and the videos were going viral. Started organizing men who wanted to be in a militia to stand strong against the oncoming tyranny. 10 days worth of social media posting and organizing, and the feds came in like 10, 15 SUVs, fully automatic guns drawn. I was on crutches limping down the street. I just took a walk to my local church because I knew I had a feeling the Holy Spirit led me to go pray before I got locked up for this last, 18 months now. And it's been an amazing journey to see the inside of this prison system in America, how broken it is. The least of these, how they've been abandoned, especially during coronavirus. There's no chaplains, there's no religious services, there's no visitation, there's no recreation, there's no legal library access. I mean, the Americans that have been, like me, they're being alleged of crimes that haven't even been adjudicated, and they've been totally abandoned throughout these last 2 years of coronavirus. And to see the struggle and the pain through all these prisons, I've been to 8 different prisons since I've been locked up. And I had the opportunity in Lewisburg Federal Penitentiary, Pennsylvania, to actually plant a church there. We had about 10 to 20 Christian brothers meeting every night that were not meeting before, and doing Bible study, and I had opportunity to lead and to teach and to pastor the most broken people on earth, people, gangbangers and drug dealers and people, that have a lot of trauma and a lot of sin in their past. And God placed me there to do his work. And so it's been an amazing experience to struggle through this, to seek God and his strength through this entire process. And I feel grateful to suffer for righteousness' sake. It's a huge grace.
So, Jake, I have a question for you. What is your greatest source of strength during this time when you're alone? I mean, what practice do you do to be encouraged?
My greatest source of strength is a worship workout that I do religiously. I put on K-Love, and I do 1,000 to 2,000 push-ups. And I just sweat it out, and I sing, and I cry, and I worship, and I dance. And I'm in 22-hour-a-day solitary confinement. So I've got to find ways to keep my mind sharp, my body sharp. This is a prison environment. You're never really safe. We've seen January 6ers, including myself, been abused by prison guards. My brother Ryan Samson was almost beaten to death in D.C. prison and in West Virginia in Warsaw prison. And so you have to stay sharp. You got to stay cognitively on point. You have to watch your back at all times. These prison guards are not for you. There's a lot of them that have demonic holds on their spirit that just want to be sadistic and see people in pain and beat people who refuse to put on a mask or as something as small as that. They're willing to come after you. And so you have to stay strong. And so I do these worship workouts, and I get in such deep relationship with God through them, where he talks to me and I talk to him, and I write. After I do my workout, I write. I have these Psalms of Christ that I've written, hundreds of them so far. And
Wow.
I try to stay as close as I can to God, because as one of my spiritual mentors has told me, my pastor, what's going to save America is not going to come out of Washington, D.C.
That's
it's going
sure.
to come from God.
Yep.
That's
right.
That is so motivating.
Go ahead, Mark.
I just want to say I could feel it listening to you when you were on a Flashpoint a few weeks ago with Gene Bailey. I could just feel the Spirit coming through you. I mean, the grace and the mercy that you had, and that's what impressed me so much about you. that we decided to pursue having you on the show, because I could just feel Christ just flowing through you. And I think that time with him alone, which I could do a lot more of that. I need a lot more of that. And here you are doing it. You're taking advantage of a horrible situation, but you're taking advantage of that time with the Lord. And I just believe he's going to greatly bless you. And just like we've seen in the Bible with Joseph and others that were in prison, where things were returned and multiplied.
Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's all glory to God. He's given me everything to survive in here. When God's all you have, you realize that's all you need. And through my relationship with Christ to God, Godward, I have unlimited patience. I have unlimited strength. I can do all things that he's purposed in my life. There's no wall. There's no prison door that will not be smashed through in my life and in the Patriots' life and in all of America's who repent and seek God. They will see their dreams come true. We will see liberty again in this country. And you know, he's testing our faith right now. We have to praise him in this valley as well as when we get to the mountaintop.
Yeah, it's so amazing because you have a real testimony in that you have actually had to live. You've been tested and you're being proved. You really have been proved, where most of us would say, I hope that I would stand up under difficult situations. I hope I would keep praising God. I think I would. But you have been put in the pressure chamber and you have not been found wanting, and we just want to champion that. At least now we know how to pray for you. What are some of the wins and what have been some of the hardest experiences that you've experienced in prison?
Thank you. That's a great question. The wins have been ever flowing. God gives me a new win every day. I want to focus on the wins. The losses, as you can imagine, they've been great. It's mainly been the devil's been attacking people in my circle as far as the other Patriots, because I have the Spirit of God and the armor on me, the armor that comes from a deep faith in Christ. So he's not been able to really penetrate my soul so much. But to see the desperation, the despair, the hurt of the other Patriots around me, you know, they have a lot of them have wives and kids at home, who are, you know, now away from their fathers for, you know, a year and a half, over a year and a half.
Wow.
And to see them lose their houses, their trucks,
wow,
their businesses, their entire livelihood, their good name. You know, Proverbs tells us that there's nothing as good as a good name. Mm. And to have them, their names dragged through the mud and, you know, tarnished, and their entire livelihoods that they've spent decades building come crumbling down around them. And to see them, you know, reach out in desperation to have God heal them and to return them back to what they used to have, that's been the hardest thing for me. That's by far the hardest thing to watch. Good men suffer. These are really red-blooded American men. They have the majority have no criminal history. They're outstanding citizens. They've given them, I mean, there was almost 50% of them are service veterans. Marines, Green Beret, the character level of these men, I've yet to been matched in any group I've ever been in my life. And to watch the devil and watch our own government turn against some of its best citizens and its servicemen and come after them and turn them into the monsters in the media and in the courtroom has been so disheartening for me. And, you know, there's a psalm that David writes that he says, I could have stood against it if I knew it was my enemy, but it was my own brother who I came into the prayer house with, and I praised God with, that turned against me. And that's what really grieved my heart. And it feels the same way for us, that it's not China that's coming after us. It's not Russia. It's the own United States government that so many of us love and have served and would give our lives for, this republic of ours. And it feels like we're being slighted 10 times deeper because it's our own country and because it's our own system that is coming and turning against us.
Wow. Wow. This is truly a spiritual battle we're in. You know, I'm a pastor, Jake, and you know, I've been battling through even this last 2 years of other pastors kind of attacking me. I mean, they're not just verbally saying that I shouldn't be involved in politics. You know, it's an idol to love your country so much. It's you should only care about what Jesus thinks. You should only care about people getting saved. And I'm like, that seems like garbage to me. I think that Jesus didn't give us the opportunity to separate our spirituality from how we live our lives and there's no separation there. And what I see in you and the others is that there's you live what you believe, and this is the only option Christ gave us.
You have 1 minute left.
So
I got one minute left okay. on this quick.
What would you say to pastors and Christians out there who said that they can't love their nation and love Christ at the same time?
I'd say that that's ridiculous, because we are men of faith and men of action. That's what the Bible calls us to be. You know, faith is dead without works, and so we need to step out and to actually get into the spiritual battle. The prayer closet is the most important place, but God's going to move your heart to do things with your hands after you pray. We are the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is an animated being. We have to move. We have to serve. In James it tells us, you know, if we see our brother without a coat and we walk away and we just pray for him, it's like, what good is that? And the same thing, if we see our brothers and sisters living in despotic tyranny and we don't stand against the forces that are pushing them into that grave place, then who are
we? Thank you for using.
God bless you.
God bless you, Jake. Awesome.
Wow, thanks.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, that was pretty amazing guy.
Wow.
Pretty amazing guy.
Just that recording gives me chills. You just realize this is a man who is not free physically, but he is free in his spirit.
Yes.
He is free in his heart. He is free in his thoughts. Mm. And I know we're going to spend some time praying for him and his friends wow. in jail before it's over, but... Ron and Brandon, what were some of the things that struck you about Jake's conversation?
You first, Ron.
Well, sure. I'm at home, by the way. I'm not in studio. I'm dealing with the COVID. For me, I would say the discipline, the spiritual discipline that he has put himself through. I mean, doing that workout each day to worship music and training his mind to focus in on God. You know, it reminds me of the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about, the joy that he has, even while he was in prison. Some of his best letters and work was done while he was in prison. And I see him as a modern-day Paul, as far as what he has done with his faith. And to me, that gives a lot of hope. Because there's a lot of people that have been struggling with depression. They're like, this world's crazy. I'm just tired. I can't handle this anymore. Why can't it just go back? And here's a guy that is in the fire.
Right.
And you could feel the joy, God's joy. And his joy is not dependent on his environment. It is dependent on Jesus. And he has decided, this is how I'm interpreting it.
Mm-hmm.
He has decided to make that his source of joy and his source of strength. And you could see it come out. So to me, I'm very encouraged by that, and that stood out to me.
How about you?
One of the things that I got in my spirit while he was talking was that he's going to be a prison reformer.
Yeah.
He is going to come out, and he will come out. I've listened to a few of his other interviews, and one of the things... he says is, you know, when you're up against evil and you're speaking truth and you are releasing the light of God, you know you're going to win. You just don't know when.
Right.
And he has an insider's look, and he is giving people there a voice who do not have a voice. It's amazing. He's in solitary for 22 hours, and yet the 2 hours that he has, like it's 8 o'clock, nine, almost 9 o'clock here mm-hmm. on the West Coast. So it's 11 something on the East Coast. The 2 hours that he has of freedom, he is leveraging for the kingdom. He's working it. He's being very strategic. He's giving a voice to the voiceless. He is giving us. So prison reform was what came to my mind, that he is actually helping us see what's going on the inside, something that we probably would prefer not to look at.
Yep.
I've been in jails as a paramedic. You know, I've run calls, medical calls. One of the things he says is they didn't even have the medical. He didn't not only have access to church services, they didn't have medical services.
Wow.
So, I mean, it just... It's
like a
crazy.
Third world country.
It is crazy. Yeah. And what do you do? I mean, those in solitary confinement, that's what you do to your worst enemies. And he hasn't even been charged. It's a form of torture. And I listened to one of his interviews, and he said some of the things that they're doing to him and the men around him is that they're trying to break them down so that they will take a plea bargain.
Wow.
So what they're trying to do is wear down. Every day it's hard, it's harder. He has lights on all 24 hours. They don't turn the light on so you can sleep like a baby at night. Yet they are blazing bright lights in your cell. He doesn't have a place to sit. He doesn't have a chair and a desk. He eats off the floor. It is not... the Hilton Hotel. He is there in very difficult situations. He talked about all throughout April and May, they had broken hot water pipes that were running. I guess they have like these hot water pipes. The cells were over 95 degrees. They were sweating day and night. So even the dehydration, you know, you need electrolytes. I'm sure they didn't come by and say, hey, we're passing out Gatorade now because we know you guys have been sweating for a few days. This went on for months. They were sweating and with these hot temperatures. So prison reformer, yeah. I'm just going to prophesy it now. He is bringing he's going to bring the message that not only is it not just that he's there, he hasn't had a voice. And he did say January 9th, 2023 is when his trial is going to be.
That is a violation of the Constitution.
Yes, but that he's going to be a voice for others.
Come on. Yeah, we just declare and decree that right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That this, because of this man opening himself up to the Holy Spirit to work through him, he will overturn darkness. He will be victorious. We send angels around him right now to guard him and to protect him and to protect the other men that are with him. Lord, we ask that you would send angels that would strengthen them in their inner person so they would be strong in this trial. And Lord, that you would give them confidence that they will win if they don't give up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right.
And Father, we also ask that you just pour out your Spirit in that place. We just ask that you open up a place where it's a thin place, that those prisoners would look at Jake and there would be revival.
Yes.
It would be like Paul in the Philippian jail, where there is an earthquake of power that shakes the place and that there is praise and worship going on, that people would from the inside out be set free within those prison walls and that they would find the eternal peace in Jesus. We ask too that you even touch those guards that are there that have been demonically oppressed, or they are there on assignment to harass and to create situations, that you bring them into a place where they will be softened in their spirit. We call forth and ask that you pour out favor over Jake and this group that he has become his friends, people in his circle. We just ask that you minister to their wives and their children, these patriots that have been locked up, and that you would minimize their losses of their homes, their good names, their houses. They've lost their jobs. And Father, would you preserve their marriages? Would you just put understanding and let the children know my dad is a hero and that that there is something bigger than the enemy's agenda going on. So we ask that you release revival in the families and in the prisons.
That's right.
Yeah, we agree with that. Right. You know, I'm speaking out to people out that are listening right now. I hope you're still listening. We just thought you just interviewed Jake Lang, who's in a federal prison. We're on KSCO Radio, 845. He has been in the jail for 18 months. All he did was stand there and use his right to peaceably protest and to voice his grievances to his government. And he did not come with weapons. He did not come with violence. He came there to stand and to speak. And they were assaulted by police. There were four people that were killed that day, the D.C. police. And the media has been lying. And you might be sick and tired of the lies, but it's part of the waking up right now is that six mega corporations control 95% of the media in this country. And if you are cursing the J6ers because you think how bad they are and how bad they must have been, you need to stop cursing and bless. And you need to know all the information before you start making judgments. Because what would you be like if you were in that situation and you were in jail 20 hours a day and all you did was stand there and help people and help resuscitate a young man who almost died and pull out a woman who ended up dying in your arms? You need to stop cursing the J6ers. You need to say, what were they there for? What did they? What is both sides of the story? And stop listening to the media that's blasting out this propaganda 24/7 that somehow these people are crazy and they're racist. I mean, the guy saved a young black man. At his own peril, was maced. You're calling J6 racist people? You need to quit cursing and start blessing people. These men who've stood there, men and women who came, I heard testimony. It was like a big worship service. There was thousands and thousands of people singing Christian songs and loving each other and all from all different races and all different backgrounds, cheering each other on. That's the atmosphere that January 6th had. And that's the stuff you're not seeing by this media that is corrupt and bought out and creating a catastrophe of justice right now.
You know, we also have to keep in mind that the whole basis of January 6th was that an election was stolen. And, you know, the fake news media for a couple years now have said that is completely a false narrative and that it was a secure election. Yet today we are seeing day by day more and more proof. And there's we're at the verge of decertifications in several states. So the truth is coming out. And if that is shown to everybody that it was stolen, which I believe it definitely was, yep. Especially after 2,000 mules, you can't deny it. Right. But then that whole basis of even being there is justified. And so you can't curse those people. They happen to know, and they believed earlier than maybe you did. But the proof is there, and it's coming out, and it has been coming out. And so we need to keep that in mind as well. It's not that they just were unhappy with the results. They believed there was a full-on coup and a takeover. And it's now being shown that, in fact, it was.
It was true. And we know this because the 2,000 mules, which we showed at our church, by the way, and which we're going to show again in July, there were people that were going from a non-government organization gathering ballots and harvesting them and going to the and dropping them off at drop boxes, and they would go to 10 in one day. Okay, so who would actually be going to a place, picking up ballots and going to 10 drop boxes and dropping two or three off in one day? Now, some people say, well, it didn't really affect the election. Okay, whether it affected the election or not, it stole three votes. It stole three people's votes. And then they did it 10 times. That's 30 votes stolen. I don't care if you hate Donald Trump, you should care about that.
Yeah.
And that is not okay.
Yeah, and this is the way that we are given by our nation to have a voice by peaceful protest. It's what else do you do? You don't just sit home and wring your hands and go, I guess I'm just gonna let the vote be stolen. We have a means that our forefathers have provided, and it is gather together and address the legislatures and say, we want this looked into. And that's basically what the January 6th was about. I mean, I was on the verge of flying out there, but I ended up going to Sacramento instead.
We were there together.
Yep, we were in Sacramento because we wanted to do something that said that we want our voice to be heard. So we did it at a local capitol, at California State Capitol building.
We listened to the speech by President Trump. We were
That's
there.
Right.
There was at least 2,000 people there.
That's right. They played the speech over the loudspeaker while we were there to the group that was assembled.
Yep. And it's interesting. We were there, and I'm going to share the story quickly. We went over to go to the bathroom because one of my friend was there with his young daughter, and they didn't have enough bathrooms. And we were standing in the bathroom line, and there was this man dressed in like obnoxious looking Trump outfit, and he was screaming at the police officer, and everybody in the line is like going, what the heck is he, where is this guy coming from? And a guy walks up to me and says, that guy is not a Trump supporter. He is here to be a provocateur for the video cameras. He is not with us. He is here to create problems. And so I go, well, let's pray for him right now. And like five or six people heard him say that to me. And I said, all right, so Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus, you would silence this man over here, that he would, whatever's causing him to be agitated, it would just die out. And like literally after we got done praying, and there was like 15 people around me and they all said amen. And then like after like 2 minutes later, he just got fed up and he walked away.
Yeah.
But it was clear there was a provocateur there to create a problem and to push a narrative. And that's what I believe. I mean, Jake didn't say anything about that, but that's what I believe happened, because I've seen video of Antifa there. I've seen video of people that look like feds. They showed up and then they put on Trump outfits. They put on Trump material, and they were trying to create, it was a trap. I mean, like,
an ambush,
it's a trap.
Is the word.
It's an ambush.
Yes, it was. And it was a very successful ambush. It's the first time I've heard the contrast between the east side, where they were like kumbayaing it, and the west side of the West Terrace Tunnel, because I saw that tunnel. I've been in tight places as a firefighter. You go in, it reminded me of these scenes that you see where people are trampled and they can't move forward, they can't move backwards. He saw some people down. They were stacked up four or five deep, and that's when he went in to try and rescue, because that was his instinct. He could see people were getting hammered, and he wasn't going to just stand by and watch some people die, and was trying to pull out. Once you're in the middle of a situation like that, it becomes very difficult. So Jake has, he has 11 felonies that are being held against him. He does have a very good attorney, and he's not quite sure whether he's going to defend himself or not, just because of how are you going to get a fair, unbiased trial with the J6 Unselect Committee broadcasting their narrative so that everybody is hearing it? Not that everybody's actually watching it. I guess they're watching golf instead. We're supposed to get unbiased juries of our peers, and so I don't think he could even get an unbiased trial in Washington, D.C.
It's like the Sussman trial. That was, you got biased people.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ron.
The Sussman trial, that was an open and shut case, and it was unanimous against it. And it was just like, you got to be kidding. So, yeah, you're not going to get a honest trial in D.C.
Yeah, so really interesting. We do want to just promote Jake's film. So although January 6th was Dinesh Sousa's film, his film, Jake did one, and it's 45 minutes long. You can actually watch it on Rumble, or you could go to j6truth.org. And so we just want to encourage our listeners to go see his he narrates it from jail, and he put it together. I don't know how that happened, but he does have a social media company that he had before he went to the J6 and got arrested. So j6truth.org, and watched Jake Lang's 45-minute truth about what really happened in January 6th.
Right, and if you want to watch it with somebody else, a lot of people are out there watching videos at home by themselves, and that's good. I mean, we're investigating, we're researching, we're digital warriors. But if you want to watch it with a group of like-minded people who are investigating this together and talking about it, we're going to have it shown at Convergence on Capitola 41st Convergence Center there. We're going to show it 6:30 p.m. on July 6th, so that'll help you. Woo-hoo. On July 6th, on Wednesday, July 6th, we're going to show J6, j6truth.org. Go watch it. Come watch it with us. Come with your questions. Let's debate. Let's discuss. Let's have a core. You can even bring a couple people that don't agree. We would like to have a cordial dialogue. This is what this is about. This is what this country is about, is having cordial dialogue. So what we're having is the July Freedom Film Festival, and we're going to be showing J6 on July 6th, and then the next week we're going to be showing What is a Woman. Then we're going to show Unplanned, which is the story of the woman who was the Texas, in charge of Texas Planned Parenthood, who once she was asked to come do an abortion, she flipped Abby Johnson and said, I cannot do this. This is evil. And then 2,000 Mules we're going to be showing again, because a lot of you haven't seen those. And what we're going to encourage you to do is bring a friend. Come get to know other patriots. Come watch the films with us. Come discuss them in a cordial manner. Interact with people that may not agree or may agree or disagree with you. And just let's have a dialogue. This is how we grow as people, as we talk to people who disagree with us, and we lovingly treat them lovingly and graciously. And so that's coming up. That's going to be the July Freedom Film Festival.
Those are
Convergence.
All Wednesdays,
all
is that
Wednesdays.
Right? And the Convergence building is the old Takara Japanese sushi place in the 41st Mall. It's at 3775 Capitola Road. And so what time are we going to do that?
6:30 p.m. each
All
night.
All right.
And, you know, if you want to know any more about Convergence, you can go to our website, Convergence, SantaCruzConvergence.com. And I think it's also .org. But just learn about what God is doing there. There are three different churches that meet there. There's a program called Aruka Project that was birthed out of there, that's helping women come out of sex trafficking. So it's a really great place and God is moving there in the churches. God is moving in the thinkers and the high-level thinking that's going on there, and the patriots that are amassing there.
And, Ron, we'll be able to get that on our website. Is that right? What's our website?
Yep. It's wakethebearradio.com, and we'll have all those links, all of Jake's links as well, j6truth.org, all of those, and then this film festival. We'll have the details in that show notes as well.
Hey, let's take a few moments to praise the Lord and thank him in prayer. We got like 2 minutes left, and I want to just thank the Lord for the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It just blows my mind. I was born in 1972. That was done in 1973, and tells you my age. But I mean, I just think, well, gosh, I know I even have a brother who we adopted in my family because my mom couldn't have a kid, wow. And the mother was at some point told that she should abort him, and now she didn't, and he came to live with us, and he's my brother. I love him to death, and he has two kids of his own, and there's so many stories like that. So the abortion is not the only answer, even though the there's some people that will tell you that there's
adoption. And as we have I'm just gonna start praying. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask that you cover the earth with your peace, that you show people the heart of the Father in this ruling, and that you keep violence from breaking out. You keep those that are desiring death agendas and death structures, and we just ask that you keep them quiet and that you give them peace too. And we just ask that that you raise up mothers and fathers, because in 9 months there's a very good possibility that there will be more children in this earth. And we ask that you make way for little ones in the homes, and that you expand the hearts of family members, of mothers and fathers, to make way for these little ones that are going to be born.
Lord, I thank you for men and women who have already come forward and who have been doing foster care and adoption. And I just think of a family in my church. I just bless them. There's one family in our church that did foster care for 21 kids and adopted 4 of them themselves. And Lord, I thank you for godly men and women out there who are willing to do that and to step in. And we ask for more of that, Lord, that you would care for mothers and PRC, the Pregnancy Resource Center, and these other groups that are doing the hard work of caring for people in crisis. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to save lives We thank you for tonight, Lord, and we ask you bless Wake the Bear Radio and that it would be used to free people up and to see people wake up. God bless you all for being a part of this tonight, and we'll be here next week, and we look forward to talking to you soon.